with another episode of Brick House to number 9 in the NBA.
Wow, we've come so far, Bob.
I didn't think we'd ever get here. I actually dislocated my knee today playing basketball on the road to breaking down the NBA Brick House podcast, but the show must go on.
You really like to get a feel. You really like to be in the middle of the action. So whenever you podcast about something, you always take part in that activity day of.
Yeah, you know, get the juices flowing.
But this podcast actually came together on a basketball court on two terrible rims with terrible backboards. That's what I'm blaming our terrible shooting on.
Yeah, we shot a lot of bricks that day.
Yeah.
Anyways, the Baker boys have come back, and Bjorn's come back to join us again. So Adam Baker's back here tonight, brother of Matt Baker.
Good to be back for number 3.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
Bjorn's back again. We've all taken the same strategy of Matt, and we're just wearing the same T-shirts. Just trying to keep the magic alive that we've had the past two episodes together. But welcome back, Bjorn.
Glad to be here.
So happy we have some serious basketball fans to break down some finally championship contending teams. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Well, let me tell you first of all that I want to apologize to the guy who's made the Brick House theme song and all of the cues that you hear in between segments. It's been 20 episodes and I haven't mentioned him once yet, but his name's Brendan Etter. He's a really talented musician, and if you have a movie or a recital you need...
I think he'll score your life if you pay him enough.
Yeah, he'll follow you around and with a violin and a MIDI keyboard and tell your story for you.
Yeah.
He's for hire. Brendan Etter, the Brendan Etter Ensemble on Facebook. Anyways, there's the plug. The Atlanta Hawks, to me, are like a John Cusack movie. They aren't totally sure of themselves, but they have this inner quality that you just want to root for, even if you're not at all like dazzled or impressed by them.
Oh, that's great, because it's so true.
Yeah, despite being talented, especially this past year, their franchise is just a history of poor attendance. It makes me think, yeah, the attitude is like that of a character Cusack would play. The nice guy, but he can't muster up the courage to ask out this crush to the dance without an exhausting amount of deliberation. In the speech that Mike Budenholzer gave when he won Coach of the Year this past year, it really typified this mentality. He was humbled but touched,
mm-hmm.
Very Cusack. Had tears in his eyes when he was talking about his years, 16 years of learning under Greg Popovich. Popovich, they actually had call him to deliver the news that he had won Coach of the Year.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was a touching moment. Like many Cusack songs, Cusack movies. And, of course, after the speech, Budenholzer went over to Popovich's house and stood with the radio on his lawn and played In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, that's the only way that could finish.
So let's go on to how they got here.
Previously on the Atlanta Hawks.
Atlanta Hawks, believe it or not, have made the playoffs 8 straight years. This was the first year they went to the conference finals, and they got swept. The previous 3 years before that, they lost in the first round. But they are making it there, so they do have consistency.
Also consistently always on NBA TV for their games.
Yeah.
Oh, the playoff games? Yeah.
The one game they always choose is the Hawks game.
Or Raptors games.
Yeah. And it's crazy because TNT is based in Atlanta, and even they don't play the games.
Yeah.
And even as the number one seed last year, I was wondering if that was still going to be the case. It was the case. They were on NBA TV. But yeah, last year they hired Greg Popovich's assistant, as I said, and now have become the Spurs of the East. They had 4 All-Stars from their starting five last season, and Budenholzer as the coach of the All-Star game. But let's get into the owner section because it's a lot of fun.
Who's that owner?
I thought it was Bruce Levinson who leaked his own email 2 years ago with racist comments in it. Leaked his own email after Donald Sterling got caught by V. Stiviano and was forced to sell the Los Angeles Clippers. When he got $2 billion, I joked, but probably mostly true, that Levinson thought to himself, maybe it's a good time to sell, you know? and looked for an opportunity. I don't know why he wouldn't just, you know, say in a statement, you know, I think I'm going to sell the team.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to buy it. But he decided maybe he got like some sort of a monetary bump for being a racist. Yeah. Is my suspicion.
Yeah. I'm hoping if this podcast makes it big enough and it's ever time to sell the podcast, you get ready for a whole bunch of racist Matt Baker emails. They are coming.
You're going to leak them?
Yeah.
You got TMZ on speed dial?
Yeah, they are leaking. I'm like, guys, the emails are here.
So who ended up buying the team in just April last year, you know? I wanted to do this section because it was something I didn't really know about, and especially didn't know about these guys. Anthony Ressler is, like almost every young new owner these days, a private equity manager of lots of rich people's money. He assembled a group, though, that involves former NBA star Grant Hill and Spanx founder Sarah Blakely and her husband, who is also an entrepreneur himself, Jesse Itzler, I believe. They ended up buying the team for $850 million.
Oof.
So Bruce just goes into shame on his own string of islands in the South Pacific somewhere.
Two teams ago we said the Pelicans sold for $336 million. So Benson bought them for less than half as much. And he also has Anthony Davis. So the Hawks spent $800 million on a team that doesn't have Anthony Davis.
That was 3 years prior.
Right.
But, you know, I was joking about their poor attendance this past year. They improved 24 wins on the previous season.
Wow.
And their attendance actually went up 21%, averaging over 17,000 people a game, which was a franchise record. And the first time they're in the top seed since 1994.
Amazing. And I think 60 wins is the most wins they've had in their franchise history, right?
I assume so, although I didn't fact check it. Oh, another.
I just did, and they did.
Nice. Matt, you're such a pro.
Yeah.
Here's a funny tidbit for you. This Anthony Ressler guy, the co-founder of Area Management, he married actress Jamie Gertz, who you may know from the Can't Spare a Square episode of Seinfeld. She is the voice in the stall next to Elaine in the movie theater. She's also dating Jerry, and she won't spare, like, slide Elaine a piece of toilet paper because her stall doesn't have any. And, she, you know, they're both seeing a movie together. Elaine tells Jerry, like, I find this woman. If I ever hear her voice, I'll know it, you know. And Jerry's dating her, and he's like, oh, no. Because she tells him the same story about this crazy woman who wanted her to, like, pass her things in between the bathroom stalls.
Yeah.
And she was a sex worker over the phone, a phone sex worker who Kramer recognized her voice.
Oh, you know, man.
It turns out in the twist of Seinfeld hilarity. So Jamie Gertz is Anthony Ressler's wife. Can't spare a square. But they've been married since 1987, so cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
Let's get into who plays for these, in your eyes, Cusacks.
And now, the starting lineup for your Atlanta Hawks!
Four of the five made the team, and the one guy who didn't make the team, he jumped ship for $15, $16 million to Toronto.
Yeah.
Damari Carroll was the only member of the starting five that didn't make the All-Star team.
Jeff Teague, do we consider him underrated, yes. Undervalued still?
Yes. Well, I do.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, the only reason I say that is maybe because now he is properly valued and people...
I don't hear people talk about him.
Yeah.
He's not talked about in, like, a top five, top 10 point guard.
Which
you don't ever hear him.
He's definitely top 10, you would think, right?
Point guards are tough, man.
Yeah.
Point guards are tough.
There's a lot of good point guards.
I'd probably put him in top 10, though.
Yeah. Sure. For me, it's either him or Jarrett Jack. Just kidding.
I just gave him the death stare when he said that.
Yeah. So, quick story. I know you like fun anecdotes.
Please. Love them.
Third string point guard, Shelvin Mack for the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, is he a Zaga guy?
No. Adam, I don't know if you remember this story. You were very much there. I would say it was about 3 years ago now. Adam, myself, and our youngest brother, Chris, at Vegas Summer League, had a brief careers as Israeli Basketball League scouts.
What?
an assistant coach for one of the teams in the Israeli Basketball League was sitting there, because a lot of, it's Summer League, Bob, you've been there, a lot of these foreign coaches come over to look at these players because these are legitimate players that could play for them, right? You know? So we sat next to a guy, Ilan, who was an assistant coach on one of the Israeli basketball teams, and he heard us talking about players, so he gave us a program and asked us to circle names of players we thought he should look at. So we were telling him what we thought about players, and he was telling us what he needed, and I think one of the positions he needed was point guard, and Shelvin Mack was playing in the game, and we were telling him that he should look at Shelvin Mack. We know he got drafted, but if he's up to be cut, he would be a player that could he should get. And he told us Shelvin Mack was too good and too expensive for his basketball team.
Wow.
Look at, so that's a glimpse into the mind of foreign basketball teams. Shelvin Mack, who, by the way, I think is a good player. I'm not knocking him. But he, for his team, was too good and too expensive. Do you remember that,
Adam? Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
He said he would have loved to have him on his team, but he just knew that Mack was above his level.
Which makes sense because Mack has never been out of the NBA since then. But, yeah, so that's a little glimpse into the mind of two... an anecdote from two former Israeli league basketball scouts.
Hey guy, check out John Wall.
Yeah. That's what we're just giving you. Like, have you? There's this LeBron. We think he's up for it.
Yeah.
Two.
Who else is starting? Who made the All-Star team then last year? Jeff Horford. Teague.
Korver.
Horford. Yeah, Teague, probably their best player.
Millsap. Yeah. Now, one of the things that didn't help the Hawks at all was Cephalosha getting tackled and his leg broken by NYPD.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
But that was really a big blow because they were riding high. They were really feeling the team.
Yeah, and they were forced to go with Kent Bazemore after that, huh?
Yeah, that changed the whole scope of the team because it knocked out one of their guys.
Yeah, the exit of Damari Carroll left the gaping hole at small forward. That is who is in the depth chart, Cephalosha and Bazemore.
The Hawks made two trades. One was the, please take Tiago Splitter so we can have money to sign LaMarcus Aldridge trade from the Spurs.
I like Splitter.
I like Splitter too. But if you have a chance to get LaMarcus Aldridge, you can just send Splitter to whoever would take him.
Yeah.
That's just homies, you know, like the Sixers GM trading with the Rockets GM.
Yeah.
These guys are helping each other out.
Yeah. Or the T-Wolves and the Celtics, they do that shit.
Yeah.
And the other trade they made was they got Tim Hardaway Jr. for a draft pick.
Monster pickup.
You like it?
No.
Okay.
He's behind Ken Bazemore in the depth chart? Wow.
Yeah, I mean, the depth chart...
you gotta be pretty bad.
Yeah, it's... one of their players here on the depth chart is Mike Scott.
Oh, okay. So this isn't fully updated. This is their guess.
Mike Scott is going to be a great starting player on a prison basketball team, possibly, because he's facing a 25-year jail sentence.
Oh, my gosh.
For getting pulled over with 35 grams of marijuana and 11 grams of MDMA, which is the drug the kids love these days. That's the drug.
Wow.
That's the drug they call Molly, right?
Years. Oh,
that's what
gosh.
Molly is?
Sure.
Sure.
Kind of.
That's a pretty draconian sentence for that.
What?
Yeah, that's pretty insane. 20 years?
Yeah.
25 years for less that's less grams of drugs than years.
Well, no, you're factoring in you have to factor in 35 grams of weed and grams
get,
of...
like, you pick up trash on the side of the road for 35 grams of weed in this country these days.
Yeah.
At least in most states. Apparently not in Georgia.
Right. Well,
poor Mike Scott. Those emoji tattoos aren't going to do him any favors.
They ain't gonna earn many points in prison.
Well, the thing that he has going against him, too, is... it took him 2 miles before he actually yielded to the cops. The cops drove 2 miles behind him, and he was
swallowing the rest of the MDMA.
Yeah, and he reached speeds of 98 miles an hour. So that obviously still, I don't think, warrants a 25-year jail sentence. But I'm not a lawyer, and this isn't a law podcast.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's get back to the basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about how many wins they're going to have.
Record prediction.
We already said they had a franchise record 60-22 last year.
They are not going to repeat that.
You have them for less wins then.
Well, I don't know.
Third in the East is where we're predicting him, where I'm predicting him.
Third in the East. I think they're going to have 54 wins.
Oh, wow. Well. Yeah, I got 55, yeah. 27, five less wins than last
year. Yeah, 60 is a tall order.
Cephalosha is a good defender on the wing, but it was nice having Carroll and Cephalosha last
year. Right, yeah.
But maybe they'll figure it out. They're the Spurs of the East at this point. But it kind of segues into one of our favorite sections where we talk about LeBron James.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
So, okay, this one is involved. My wife is writing a script about ultra runners.
Yes.
And ultra runners, I don't really know the definition per se, but essentially it's like races that are over 100 miles or about in that area. So she was watching a documentary about ultra runners because she's working on the script, trying to make it believable. So this documentary is called Undefeated, and it's this ultra race, like 120 mile race, and the movie's called Undefeated because there's following four ultra runners who are all four previously undefeated in this sport of ultra running, and I believe it's three Americans and this one Spanish kid who my wife was describing as like a billy goat, sort of just bouncing off rocks and like having fun with it and just running like a weirdo.
Yeah.
And everybody else is just kind of slogging. It's over 100 mile race.
Yeah. You know?
And so she was expecting while watching it, oh, this guy's definitely going to win. He just has this different air about him. He ended up like sitting down 20 miles from the end and just not getting up.
Jeez.
Like everyone passed him. But anyways, the reference and why I'm bringing up LeBron is in the documentary, right? Four guys show up, never been beat before, and they go to one guy and they're interviewing him, and then they ask him, so who are you most worried about of the three other guys, right? And he said, well, I'm worried about Matt and I'm worried about Adam, but I'm not worried about the other guy, you know. And they're all undefeated.
Yeah,
it's pretty big slam right before you're about to run alongside a dude for 100 plus miles. And anyways, I was thinking about LeBron James, and essentially maybe there's three contenders in the East: the Hawks, the Bulls, and the Heat for this sake. And you know, sorry Kevin, Wizards fan, not really a real contender. But of those three, you know, if you're asking LeBron and he was just gonna say, I'm not worried about one of those three teams,
it'd be the Hawks.
My guess is it would be the Hawks.
Yeah.
You guys think that's fair?
They're going to sit down 20 miles from the finish line.
Yeah.
I think they will, actually. Yeah. Right, it's going to be close to that. They're not going to have nearly the year, I think.
I think of it as like LeBron James has had it out with their older brother. You know, he's beat their older brother in the finals. The older brother beat him, meaning the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And there's no frickin' way the little brother is going to beat him. I didn't prep you for your personal anecdote.
I actually, if you notice, I just looked at your computer. I just snuck a peek.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
All right, well, I got this personal anecdote idea from a Chris Rock movie from a year or two ago called Top 5. Who are your favorite Top 5 MCs?
So these are my personal favorites?
Personal favorite rappers of all time. Do you like rap, first of all?
Yeah, some of it. not so much of what the kids are listening to these days.
No Tyler, the Creator for you?
Yeah, it's a little, I don't know.
Matt likes Lil B.
My favorite rapper of all time is Charlie Tuna from Jurassic 5.
Okay.
You know Jurassic 5?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that. I like Gift of Gab, this other rapper from this group, Blackalicious. And
just going straight underground. You were expecting like Ice Cube or something.
Yeah, well, no, if these are my first...
I didn't know what to expect. They never do from the Baker.
There's another one, this rapper. His name's Versatile, and he's amazing. I could listen to him rap for days.
I don't even know who that is, and I listen to a lot of rap music.
Yeah, he's even more underground. He's even more unknown than the other two. Andre 3000 I really like.
I've heard of him.
Yeah, I'll give you that for Atlanta. There's an Atlanta.
All right.
Atlanta. With Outkast.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Okay, that's four, I believe.
Four. Okay, number five. I'd put Ice Cube Kanye. Up there.
Yeah, about time.
What?
Kanye.
Kanye, yeah.
Jesus.
No, Ice Cube. Bjorn, I think that's Bjorn's number one, right?
Yeah. What's Bjorn's top five? You got that locked and loaded?
Ice Cube one, Cameron two, then I don't know. I don't know after that.
So there it is. I gave you an Atlanta rapper in there so we could fit the theme of the current podcast.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, you're welcome, Bob.
Always learning more. Thanks for the stories.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We're sticking in the East. We got a new coach this year, so we're going to see how that works out for him. Also, their shooting guard, I think, has become one of the best interviews in the league. So we're going to have a lot of funny quotes from him.
Oh, man.
On the next episode of Brick House. Thank you.